You Must Remember This is a podcast about the secret and forgotten histories of 20th century Hollywood. Listen to You Must Remember This on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Hi, welcome back, everybody. Tobin and Leroy here with you on FM 104.3 WQAM. Take you guys up until 2 here on the show. Hey, Leroy, can we get a weather update from Chill Zone AC? Yeah. Featuring reliably root AC systems. Make your AC great again. Visit chillzoneac.com.
Listen, I don't know if this weather teasing us. This what we have going on into October and November, you know, into Thanksgiving and Halloween. Or are we going to get another, you know, heat wave with some storms? But right now, this weather is beautiful. Not nearly no wind, barely any wind. I'm gonna say if it's 5 miles an hour, I'm shocked. I don't see any clouds, and it's a pleasant 81 degrees. It's a beautiful day out there. The only thing that sucks is I'm looking at it. I can't go out and enjoy it.
Yeah. It is 81 degrees outside.
He's good.
There is
but you could feel. The humidity is lower because even though it's 81, because even in the winter, it still gets up to 80, 85 degrees, but you don't feel that smothering heat because the humidity is low.
Wind gusts is up to 14 miles.
14?
Mm-hmm.
Well, somebody need to come cut these trees because they heavy. They've been lifting weights because they ain't moving.
But it should be partly cloudy around 11 a.m.
All right.
Yeah, like I thought yesterday, based on where what it was out east, that we might, you know, when that blows across, that we might get some evening showers, but we got nothing. So
Josh Hart, you know, says,
I'm always hesitant to say no rain, Josh, right? Because it's Florida.
Of course. Josh says, Leroy, give me the weather outside Hard Rock. I can tell you what's happening. Storms are brewing around that podium.
You think so?
Storms are brewing.
It's not Storm Duck.
No, it's like, not Storm Duck.
Okay.
God, I miss it.
I would say
really?
This.
No, I just want to play this.
Storm Duck. Quack, quack, quack.
That's it.
Hey. I mean, that's all nice and great, but Storm been clipped.
Yeah.
How long is he out? Is he out? He's not out.
He started practicing last week, so it seems like he's coming back. Maybe this week.
Okay.
Maybe this week.
No, he said that I think McDaniel came out on Monday and said that nobody's coming back this week.
No, but he meant the guys who come off IR.
Okay.
He's just been working his way back from an ankle injury, and I think he started practicing last week. I mean, we'll find out today. We'll get an injury report, but I think he's closer. Yeah, but everybody else, all the linemen, everybody who's on IR, nope. No kickers, no centers, no Eichenberg, no nobody. Everybody's on that. No Austin Jackson, no James Daniels. You know,
hey.
a strong fortress this Chris Greer has built in front of Tua.
Leroy.
Hey, can I just say this? I'm a read this comment.
Mm-hmm.
And periodically in life, we expose our true ignorance about what we're talking about.
Ooh.
And I'm going to say it. Let me just go ahead and put it out.
Mm-hmm.
The offensive line sucks, but Achan still manages to ball out every game. So please don't tell me it's the O-line. Tua sucks. Now, it's two different positions, and both of them rely on the offensive line a little bit differently. If Tua don't get no blocking, he can't use that 10-1 speed and get away. Achan can.
He definitely,
so there's
can he,
that.
Can he hop on Achan's right? back?
The other thing is that we give Achan the ball outside, away from the O-line, so he can do his thing.
He was so
you
fast.
You can't line Tua up out wide.
He like
and have him throw passes from there.
He's outrunning everybody.
And it's always been different for a running back. Like, a running back can make a guy miss. Like, Tua's supposed to be looking downfield. If he start trying to avoid the rush, he's even worse off. So
every one of those charts that I see on pass blocking, and I just want to be clear here, okay? Tua has stunk this season. I'm not trying to take away that he has stunk. But also, every chart that comes out, these people who do metrics on offensive line, the Dolphins are so far on the bottom. Like, and of course they are. You want to know why? Because half their line is backups, and one of them is the worst rookie you've ever seen in your life. And they got a center playing with half a chest who can't snap anyway, who tackled Tua.
Yeah, he got a sack. No blocks.
Are you going to get sacked by a guy with half a chest?
I'm telling you.
Hey, so.
And now he's mad. And by the way, and now they're all mad at him on top of it.
I ain't going to lie to you. The way Patrick Paul answered that question yesterday, that sounded like somebody, maybe. I know they won't do that. Leroy, I know they won't. I know they won't. But
like somebody going, here's what they're going to do.
But I wouldn't.
Somebody going to make light.
If somebody goes Ole, you know what I'm saying? Miles Garrett
give
goes.
Willie Beeman.
They don't do that. They don't do that because.
I know they
look,
don't.
At the end of the day, you got to do your job. Now, here's what's crazy. And I want y'all to answer this.
But Tua can't say
nothing
crazy to me now.
How far down is the Bengals O-line?
On these charts?
Yeah.
I don't know. I got to find it.
It's got to be Dolphins, Bengals, Jets. Like, they got to be the lower third of the offensive line.
Right.
I mean, Jets gave up 9 sacks on Sunday to Denver in London. So,
well, they are the number one defense, too. So that's
I get
bad.
It, but
that's a
I'm
bad
just,
combination.
Yeah, but I'm just saying, like,
9.
The bad teams, the record says, you can tell why they're bad.
Who was the Kansas City Chiefs linebacker?
Derek Thomas?
That passed. He had 8 sacks
poor
in
Dave
one
Craig.
Game. Seattle. And guess what?
They lost.
The sack that he missed at the end of the game, the quarterback threw a touchdown and they lost.
He pulled the Jalen Phillips.
Yes.
By the way, I'm telling you.
Shook him. That was the craziest thing. You get 8 sacks, and the most important was the 9th one.
I will say this. Warning track sack power is hysterical.
Oh, my goodness. So, do you see where that list is? I'm just curious. And keep in mind, we're talking about this stuff. We're not defending nobody. So, everybody calm down.
He had a funny post yesterday. And I felt bad because I thought immediately, I'm like, that's going to turn into a meme. Because he was putting this very loving post with his fiance, Jalen Phillips, and he's got her like wrapped up in his arms. No. It was so sweet.
Oh, I already got one.
And you already know what the comments were.
Like, oh, my God. I got like 5 out the gate.
Hey, I hope she's not too high off the ground because he'll drop her.
Hope he doesn't fumble this one.
Well, they were going well. How
hope
come you
not got? I hope she don't have no sunscreen.
It was
she
more
slip right through his arms.
It was more to the tune of with Jalen Phillips. It was more to the tune of how come you couldn't wrap up Herbert like that?
Herbert,
you could wrap her, but you couldn't wrap Herbert.
Right.
It's all right. We love love.
So who,
happy for them.
Say, who do you think is doing a worse job? Now I already know that. What Chris Greer tried to fix the problems with is bad job by him, right?
Mm-hmm.
But in Cincinnati, you got your franchise quarterback that has given you success, but you getting him killed every year. And so I would say, like, that dude.
Who, Duke Tobin?
Yeah.
I don't know. I mean, Duke Tobin's – I mean, I guess you got to give it to Duke Tobin because at least they've gotten to conference finals and Super Bowls, you know?
Yeah, but not without losing your quarterback every other year.
Understood. But you asked who did a better job. No, Chris Greer's done the worst job.
Yeah. I meant who's doing the worst job. I meant – so it's Chris Greer.
Yeah.
I said it backwards. I meant better and, you know.
Chris Greer's doing the worst job. He's still the
of
king.
Of course.
He's king,
know,
he's king of the mountain right now.
I don't understand, like, if I had to sit down and have a conversation with Chris Greer and, like, no BS, this doesn't leave the room, and we just have a talk, like, my first question would be, how did you ever think this was going to work?
Mm.
When you see all the successful teams in the league or have one basic thing in common. O-line and D-line. How did you think these group of men were going to make it work? Now, the problem is, is that they reset and tried to go young this year. So it like they've accepted their fate and tried to build through the draft and with young guys.
Yeah, accepted their fate, but I don't think they thought it could be this bad. Like it's legitimately been as bad as the worst case scenario has been.
I think that Chris Greer doesn't think offensive line is that important and you could get anybody to do the job based on what he's done.
And what he said.
Based on what he's done.
He said it. He's gone out in front of microphones and said, "You guys are more worried about than I am." It's like,
right.
Oh, all right.
And so if that's not an indictment,
and then my favorite,
why this team is built wrong, then I don't know what is, because he has basically told you he doesn't think offensive linemen are that important. He's never going to say that, but all we have
kind of did though.
All we have is look at how he's built this team and look at how he put these guys together and look at how he did, you know, with what, right? And the other thing I would ask him is, why are you so shocked when an injured player doesn't work?
I don't know.
Right?
That's one thing that's to me like the craziest thing is he really doesn't think that's ever going to bite him.
Oh, he'll get healthy. We can save $3 million. No, you're not saving any money if the dude doesn't play. It's costing you $7
million. Has a team that's got a hospital next to their practice facility not trust medical records?
The last time they trusted medical professionals, we ended up with Dante Culpepper instead of Boo-Boo. Right? Right. Hey, but is that not accurate?
It's true. Hey, no, it's true.
Right.
Hey, Chris, what do you and Mike think about offensive linemen?
It's always interesting because Mike and I were talking about this the other day that with the offensive line, how every year that's, you know, you guys are like, oh, we're not good enough. But then offensively, we're pretty good offense the last 2 years. And a number of you guys have talked about how the guys have improved. You know, those guys on the offensive line have worked their tails off.
Yeah, not anymore.
Here. And here is the difference between looking at the big picture and looking at and having guys bail you out. Okay? And here's what I would say. Tua got rid of the ball so fast and gets rid of the ball so fast on a number of in these past few years. He's gotten rid of the ball faster than anybody. Mike McDaniel's offense is quick passes and things like that, yep. Right? And what ends up happening is it looks like your line is protecting because of all those other things. You got to be able to look at it, because when it's 3rd and 7 or 3rd and 8 or 3rd and 12 and Tua got to wait for something to develop, he's getting swallowed up.
Yeah, I remember like 1 year Tua came out, it was like Stockholm Syndrome. He goes like, oh, does it matter who your own line is? He goes, doesn't matter. I can get rid of the ball so fast. I'm like, nope.
It does, like, okay, yeah, when it's 1st and 10, which brings me to my other point, is if we're all aware of this, what is the worst thing you could do on 1st down? Lose 3 yards.
Oof.
Like, you were feeding into it. And I've been making a big deal about this, not just this year, not just last year, the year before. I've been making a big deal about this the whole time. There's nothing wrong with 2nd and 7, especially for this team. Because the further you get down into the downs and the distance becomes a little bit farther, that means you got to rely on a group of men that haven't protected your quarterback. So think ahead. Think, what do we need to do, right, either schematically or with players, when we get to those crunch times in a game and we need to pick up a 3rd and 12 or a 3rd and 13, but we can only throw a pass that is 3rd and 3 because our offensive line can't protect. Or Tua throws the ball away and you don't get a sack. And then at the end of the game, you look at, oh, we only gave up 1 sack today.
Great.
Good. That's what. But so it, like, it has context. All this has context. So when you say, oh, y'all say the offensive line is getting bigger, yeah, I promise you it's one of these people just looking at stats and say they only gave up 2 sacks today. But I'm telling you, when you watch the Dolphins play, Tua is under distress half of the game. And then Mike didn't do him no favors because the 1 week they won, he start rolling him out. And then the very next week, he sat his ass in the pocket again.
We'll take a break. Just a regular old second hour is next.
You must remember this is a podcast about the secret and forgotten histories of 20th century Hollywood. Listen to You Must Remember This on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.